I wonder how good you are at memorizing things. I'm going to test you, and I hope I'm going to impress you, because the reality is you memorize messages all day long. It's just that you don't necessarily remember that you have. I'm going to begin a sentence, and I want you to finish it out loud, so we'll embarrass each other by remembering these well-known statements. And if you you get a bonus point if you can remember who said it. Okay? I'll give you an easy one. Soft, strong, and very long. Andrex. Okay. Harder one. To our members, we're the fourth emergency service. Bread, we're nout. Taken out. Okay, Allison's. Don't leave home without it. American Express. I think, therefore, iMac. Okay? Vorsprung Dork Technik, Audi. I'd love a women, I'd love a baby sham. Okay. The United Colors of Benetton. Okay. This is an easy one. Ah. Bisto. Okay. The taste of paradise. Okay, bounty. Du pain, du vin, du bon sang. Okay, that's cheese. The world's favorite airline. Okay, go to work on an egg. Let the train take the strain. A glass and a half in every half pound. Okay, and all because the lady loves milk tray. Okay, for mash, get smash. The man from Del Monte, he say yes. Okay. Put a tiger in. Now hands that do dishes can feel soft as your face. No FT, no comment. Okay. Men only, the best a man can get. Okay, Gillette. Guinness is good for you. Refreshes the parts other beers cannot reach. Okay. Beans means Heinz. Okay. Grated grains make finer flour. Don't say brown, say Hovis. Okay. Say it with flowers. Okay. Have a break, have a Kit Kat. Never knowingly undersold. Okay. Because you're worth it. Okay. It does exactly what it says on the tin. Okay. Toilers in agriculture. Okay, I'll finish the sentence for you. Strengthen the fodder basis for animal husbandry. Raise the production and sale to the state of meat, milk, eggs, wool, and other products. Only if you were a former Russian member of the Communist Party would you have memorized that sentence. Okay. Obviously, we watch too much television. But you get the point. Whether you like it or not, you remembered most of those subliminal messages. Well-constructed, humorous, memorable, simple, and sometimes true. What is the Christian message? If you could reduce it down to one sentence, what would the whole Bible be saying? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And where is it? John 3:16, correct. You know, in 25 words, Jesus reduced down all of his ministry to one sentence. It's simple, it's short, and it is significant. But if evangelism was only as simple as putting that verse outside every church in the world, and we could all think we've fulfilled our responsibility. It's not as simple as that, is it? It takes more than a memorable slogan to make a successful business. Marshall McLuhan said this, "The medium is the medium is the message." Well, actually, his book was "The Medium is the Massage," because there was a spelling mistake. but he liked it so much he left it as that, as the title. What's he saying? What was he saying? He's saying that the medium itself, not the content it carries, determines the credibility and the effectiveness of the message. The medium is the message. Now, what has that got to do with the church? What has it got to do with evangelism? Well, let's find out. Let's find out. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Do you see? The medium is the message. It's why most people do not stop to listen to preachers who shout on street corners. Because the medium is the message they're not interested in. In our conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus summarizes the message of the contagious Christian. And I want to focus in on three dimensions of this message this morning. First of all, the way to new birth. Secondly, the joy of new birth. And thirdly, the necessity of new birth. First of all, the way to new birth. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, we know this verse so well, or I hope you do. But can you remember the day you first heard it? How did you feel when you realized Jesus was speaking to you? What does this verse tell us about God's love? It tells us at least five things. It tells us the height of this love. For God so loved the world. It's unlimited. It tells us the breadth of this love. For God so loved the world. It's universal. It tells us the depth of this love. For God gave his one and only Son. It's unbelievable. The length. Whoever believes, it's unconditional. And the duration. Everlasting life. It is an unending present possession. Notice Jesus does not say hope to have eternal life, but has eternal life. Past tense. What does that mean? It means that we can never be too sinful or too far away or too far gone in life or too late in life for his love not to reach and transform. The height, the breadth, the depth, the length, and the duration of God's love. It is literally unlimited, universal, unbelievable, unconditional, unending, and true. The way to new birth. What about the joy of new birth? Well, Jesus takes that truth from John 3:16 and reverses it in John 3:17. He restates his message from the opposite perspective. I wonder if you can remember as a child being in school and doing something naughty, you know, and hearing teacher is coming. How did you feel? Nervous. That's how the ancients thought at the idea of God coming to earth. It would be to punish. But Jesus says God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the opposite. John Calvin put it like this: the Son of God became the Son of Man that the sinful sons of men might become the sons of God. When you hear someone whistling, it may annoy you, but when you hear someone whistling or humming to themselves or singing, what can you tell about the person? Are they sad or are they happy? Happy. Why do we sing in church? Why do we sing so much in church? I took a wedding recently, and we sang, "O Lord My God, When I in Awesome Wonder." There were about 150 people in the congregation. I could not tell who was a Christian, but I could tell who wasn't. It was easy. We sang, "When I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour, God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art." Most of the audience had their mouths closed. They were not singing. They couldn't sing. They were not prompted to sing. When Christ has come into our lives, how can we not sing? Certainly heaven is singing when we come to trust in Christ. There is more rejoicing, said Jesus, in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And the next time you complain about the noise from the band, remember what Revelation 19 verse 1 says. "I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Alleluia, salvation and glory and power belongs to our God." There is no greater reason for rejoicing than knowing that God our Father loves us and accepts us in Jesus. The way to new birth, the joy of new birth, and thirdly, the necessity of new birth. Jesus takes verse 16 and verse 17 and he puts them together in verse 18. A summary: whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see how the good news of Jesus divides the world in two? I wonder, have you been born again? Do you know that you are not condemned? That you are forgiven, that you have eternal life. Because human destiny, says Jesus, is ultimately determined by how you respond to me. And there is one exception, a single exception, to God's forgiveness. God will forgive anything and everything. Whatever is on your conscience today, God will forgive it. The bottom line, however, is this. God loves the world so much that he does not want a single person to perish. It is unlimited and as personal as that. But there is one thing he cannot forgive. He cannot forgive the arrogance of refusing to accept the gift of forgiveness. You see, Jesus went on to say, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. You may or may not see yourself as a Christ follower. You certainly have friends who are not yet believers in Jesus. Have you ever asked them why they have not yet become a Christian? Have they intellectual problems, perhaps? Questions that are unanswered? Are they waiting for a spiritual experience to zap them? Too busy? Can't see the relevance? Well, Jesus says this is the verdict. This is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but people prefer darkness to the light. You see, there is no middle way. There are no compromises. There is a choice. A choice. We've seen the way to new birth, the joy of new birth, and the necessity of new birth. Jesus insists a verdict will be given. He's not asking us to understand everything. He's simply asking us to trust him. This is the way to be separated from our sin. This is the way to escape the wrath of God. This is the way, the only way, to experience the love of God. It is the only way to be born again. this is our message. And inside your sermon outline, there is a summary of the Christian message, John 3:16 unpacked. It's called the Four Spiritual Laws. And I invite you to keep it and to be ready and share it with anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And our next Christianity Explored course starts on Wednesday, lunchtime, if you are free during the day, or Thursday evening, if you are free in the evening. It's a marvelous opportunity to work our way through Mark's Gospel and find out who Jesus is, why he came, and what his claim is on our lives. Invite your family and friends to join you on the daytime or the evening course. Invitations at the back. But is that our message? Is that our message? Remember what Marshall McLuhan said. The medium is the message. The medium is the message. Where did he get that idea from? Empirical research? The business world? Well, the Apostle Paul said the same thing 2,000 years ago. In his letter, his second letter to the church in Corinth, the church he'd founded, he explained how they would become contagious Christians. He said, "You show that you are a letter. You are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Human hearts. If the medium is the message, what is the Christian message? If the medium is the message, who is the message? If the medium is the message, what message will you be this week? If the medium is the message, whose message will you be? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for showing us from your word that Jesus is the good news. And everything that Jesus came to accomplish is summarized in that one sentence. But thank you for showing us that the words are meaningless unless we demonstrate them. That Jesus in us is the good news. Please help us this week to reflect upon how we can become more contagious as we live out the good news, so that others will ask us to explain the reason for the hope that we have, because that hope will be so visible in what we say and what we do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.